Car racing driver Denny Hamlin was a little boy, in second grade in fact. He wrote a letter to himself wishing for a Daytona 500 victory. On Sunday in Daytona Beach, Florida, Hamlin's wish came true, and it came true in thrilling fashion. The 35-year-old Hamlin, driving a Toyota, beat Martin Truex Jr. in a photo finish. His margin of victory was 1/100th of a second, the closest finish in the history of the Daytona 500. Afterwards, with confetti flying, Hamlin had this to say.
This was a team victory. My teammates did an amazing job all day working together, all the Toyotas. This is a proud moment for everyone at Toyota. FedEx, on my 11th try getting the Daytona 500. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what happened. I can't even figure out what I did, but it all just came together. I got the push, obviously, from the four, but this wouldn't be possible if this wasn't Toyota's sticking together all race long.
Denny Hamlin's Daytona 500 victory was also a victory for Joe Gibbs Racing. Owned and operated by former Washington Redskins football coach Joe Gibbs. Gibbs has been involved in NASCAR, the National Association for Stock Car Auto Racing, for 25 years. This marked the first time Gibbs's team won the Daytona 500 since Dale Jarrett in 1993. During his football coaching days, Gibbs led the Redskins to 3 Super Bowl trophies. Comparing his Super Bowl victories with the Daytona 500 triumph, Gibbs said, and I quote, "Most people never get to have a dream in life. I've had 2 from an occupational standpoint. I'm probably one of the most blessed guys in the world." Let's stand up for Denny Hamlin and Joe Gibbs Racing, winners of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500 in Florida.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to The Sunny Side of Sports.
Yes, my friend.
The Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports.
The Sunny Side of Sports Show.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Sunny Side of Sports, right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up!
In Olympic news, let's stand up for the world champion U.S. Women's National Soccer Team, which booked a ticket to the Rio Games in Brazil after dominating the CONCACAF regional qualifying tournament. The American women, who are bidding for their 5th gold medal in Rio, won all 5 of their qualifying matches, scored 23 goals, and shut out the opposition. With their Olympic qualifying place already assured, the USA defeated neighbor Canada 2-0 on Sunday in the tournament final in Houston, Texas. Lindsey Horan and Tobin Heath scored second-half goals for the American women. Canada also qualified for the Rio Olympics women's football tournament by finishing 2nd. Looking ahead to June, the U.S. men's national soccer team will play the opening match in the Copa America tournament. Now, usually the Copa America determines the South American champion. This year, to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the competition, the Copa America will be played at 10 venues around the United States. The tournament will feature 10 South American teams, as well as the USA and 5 others from the CONCACAF region. Let's take a quick look at Sunday's Copa America draw. The United States is in Group A with Colombia, Costa Rica, and Paraguay. The Americans will meet Colombia June 3rd in the tournament's opening match at Levi's Stadium in Santa Clara, California. Levi's Stadium also hosted Super Bowl 50 earlier this month, won by the Denver Broncos. Group B in the Copa America has Brazil, Ecuador, Haiti, and Peru. Group C features Mexico, Uruguay, Jamaica, and Venezuela. And Group D has Argentina, Chile, Panama, and Bolivia. Chile is the defending Copa America champion. Host Chile beat Lionel Messi in Argentina on penalty kicks last year in Santiago to win its first Copa America trophy. Joining us now with a package of sports news is the VOA's Daybreak Africa sportsman, Mark Ouma. And Mark begins by catching up with a couple of South African athletes who hope to compete at the Rio Olympics in Brazil in August.
South African Hosi Tsotsane clocked 30 minutes and 22.7 seconds to win the 10 kilometers at the best made road race in the South African capital Tshwane on Saturday. His sights are now set on the Olympics in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil.
And the way I felt about the race today, it was fine, because now I'm looking to run at least around here in Pretoria. This Molanyana race is just to build up my fitness now. Because last year I did struggle maybe two years back now with minor injuries, but now I'm glad that I can join the guys with the racing pace and everything. So.
You won this race in 2013. Last year you were second. You've come back and won again. So it says well about your fitness. What do you want to achieve this year?
Now I'm looking upon 5,000 in the track. Yeah, 5,000 meters in the track. So that maybe I can form part of the Olympic team. But now I can see the way my training is going. I'm not far. I'm still there with the guys. Maybe I can dip under my personal best of 13:30.
That was Hosi Tsotsane, winner of the 10 kilometers at the Best Med Tax road race, speaking in Tshwane, South Africa. Meanwhile, returning from a maternity break, South African Yvette Fancel won the women's 10 kilometers in 33 minutes and 55.3 seconds. She aims at breaking new grounds in the marathon.
It's nice to be back racing again. I try not to race a lot because the training is quite important now for preparing for London Marathon. But today was nice, a bit hot and humid out there. It was a nice race overall, and I think I can't complain. Another sub 34, so I think preparation is going well.
You've got your London Marathon, as you say. It's going to be your first big marathon. What are your projections? What time are you looking at?
Well, I've been away from the marathon quite a bit now for a few years, so I think we're going to see what the other ladies have run, because the focus is just to qualify for Rio. To make the team, you have to run a sub 230. So I think it's going to be a tough qualify for the marathon.
What is your personal best in marathon?
A 2:31.
That was Yvette Fancel, winner of the women's 10 kilometers at the Best Made Road Race in Tshwane, South Africa. Host South Africa will play Mozambique in the opening encounter at the Futsal Africa Cup of Nations in Johannesburg on the 15th of April. According to the draws held here in Johannesburg, Zambia and Tunisia are also in Group A preliminaries. Egypt is seeded in Group B, which also features Libya, Angola and Morocco. The top three teams qualify for the Futsal FIFA World Cup in Colombia later this year. I caught up with the Mozambique coach, Naimo Abdul, and asked him for his impressions of the draw.
I think that the draw has gone very well. Yes, all the team that qualified to the CAF Futsal is very good teams, and I haven't the preference. In our group, we have big teams. Each team can qualify to the final or semifinals.
Now, the Mozambique Federation, what is the target that Mozambique Federation gave you?
To qualify Mozambique into the World Cup Futsal Colombia, and that's why you came here, and I'm sure that we'll do this. With or without difficulties, we'll be there in Colombia.
That was Naimo Abdul, the Mozambique futsal national team coach, speaking in Johannesburg, South Africa. Meanwhile, Egypt will open their campaign in Group B against Libya. They were finalists at the last edition of these futsal championships, which Libya hosted and won in 2008. Egyptian team representative Osama Shukri is clear about their expectation.
Well, I believe every team is looking forward to win the competition. It doesn't matter which team we are playing against. We are playing for the competition, for the fun. As I told you, we are looking forward to accumulate more championships.
That was Osama Shukri, the Egyptian futsal team representative. I'm Mark Ouma in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Because this is Africa. Tami, tami, tami. Time for Africa.
I'm very excited. Ngijabulile.
Hola. Cause this is Africa. Tamina mina. Waka waka Tamina mina sakalewa. This time for Africa.
You crave more sports news? We're here to fulfill your wishes on VOA Africa. Listen to the sunny side of sports.
Joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Andrew, what is trending in the sports world on this Monday?
Well, here in the U.S. this weekend, we had the Daytona 500, huge auto race here in the U.S. in Daytona, Florida. And interestingly, I found this press release from NASCAR from their website where they're talking about ways that they're trying to connect the fans to this race. And
okay.
One of the biggest ways they're doing that is through social media, through not just Twitter and Facebook, but things like Vine, Snapchat, a lot of these new social media, trying to bring people into the race. I guess when you have cars just going round, round in a circle, you have to keep people occupied for a while. But just some of the innovative things that they're doing, using different hashtags and things, having contests, really trying to bring the fans in and connect them. So I thought that was very interesting for a sport that's certainly very popular here in the U.S. and one that's, I think, among the fastest growing here in the U.S. among fans.
In fact, we heard from Denny Hamlin, the Daytona 500 winner. Andrew, I would rate the Daytona 500 and Indy 500 as the two big auto races here in the States.
Absolutely. Certainly on social media, a lot of conversation about the Daytona 500 this weekend. And as we were talking about just before the show, there was an interesting little social media post regarding Denny Hamlin, the winner. His mother posted something that Denny Hamlin had done when he was in elementary school. It said, you know, what do I want to do when I grow up? And he said, I want to win the Daytona 500. And sure enough, he has. I think in the report that he wrote up, he said he was going to win it in 1998. So he's a few years late, about 18 years late. But nevertheless, he's won. So that was certainly getting shared around social media to say, you know, your dreams can come true. If you're a little kid out there dreaming of winning the Daytona 500 or Super Bowl or whatever else, you can certainly do so.
Write it down.
Yes, write it down now so you can share it on social media in, you know, two decades.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOASunny. And my Twitter handle is @VOASunnySports. If you go to my Facebook page, you'll see a photo of Julius Irving, Dr. J, the Hall of Fame basketball player who's celebrating his 66th birthday on this Monday, February 22nd. Andrew, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, we have a story about Lindsey Vonn. Lindsey Vonn is the famous female skier here in the U.S., and she had a race this past weekend where one of her ski bindings failed her. The ski popped off, or so she said it did anyway. So she took to social media and took a video of her taking one of these bindings and smashing it with a hammer. Certainly something that any one of us would do if we were frustrated and our equipment failed us, as she said it did. But there was one problem with this, and it was Head, the ski apparel company, ski equipment company that she's partnered with. She has a 10-year contract with them, and this binding that she smashed was one of theirs.
Uh-oh.
So they were not happy about that, her posting this video basically blaming them for her failure in that race. So she had to pull that video down from social media, had to apologize publicly to the CEO of the company and the company, because, of course, it's big money for her. It's an endorsement deal. They supply her equipment. And she says it's a valuable lesson for her on social media, how it can be very powerful, and how maybe you should take a step back if you're in the heat of the moment and very upset about something and think twice before you post something like that on social media.
And Lindsey Vonn, of course, romantically involved for a few years. I know they've now broken up with Tiger Woods, the great American golf star.
Exactly. A lot of the social media attention was on that relationship. And now it's turned to something that she's doing on the slopes. So I don't know how she feels about that. Maybe if she's happier that's not on her personal life and it's on her professional life. But in any case, you know, like I said, she's realized, I think, now that social media can be a powerful tool. And maybe take a deep breath, think about the ramifications of your posts before you send them out.
And Andrew, getting back to Tiger, I know we've talked in recent days about Kobe Bryant and some of these other big stars that have a pretty active social media presence. How would you rate Tiger on social media?
I think it depends on where Tiger is in his career. He's had, and his personal life for that matter, because he's had a lot of personal issues in his life. I think when he has those personal issues, he tries to lay low. And I think for a lot of athletes, they do that. Anytime there's an athlete who's embroiled in a controversy, especially in their personal life, they try to keep quiet on social media, not to give anyone any more ammunition. But as these athletes succeed and overcome that, then they can use social media as a way to kind of rebuild their image.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
And see you on Wednesday.
See you Wednesday.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young, and that's the Sonny.